Everybody, and welcome to the Motzoi Shabbos Shir for Parshas Tetzaveh. Motzoi Shabbos Parshas Tetzaveh. Today, of course, was Shushan Purim, and yes, of course, was Purim. So now, having come through Purim and Shushan Purim, we're within Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, within 30 days before Pesach. So I thought we'd right away look at a subject which relates to the Yom Tov of Pesach, a Haboilin Latova. Believe it or not, exactly 4 weeks from tonight is the first Seder. So
hopefully there are no women on these Shir tonight.
Right. They're getting ready. Okay. But anyway, I'd like to talk this evening, not about a halacha of Pesach, but rather a minig, a fairly common minig, at least in Ashkenazic circles, and try to understand where it comes from. And that is the minig that many people have to wear a kittel at the Seder. Either all the males wear a kittel or the person leading the Seder wears a kittel. A kittel obviously is more readily associated with Yom Kippur. And some people are Balei Tefila and other individuals wear on Rosh Hashanah as well. We are kittel by the same reason, by Tefilas Geshem and Tefilas Tal. But again, it's a fairly widespread practice in many Ashkenazic communities for at least the head of the household, or perhaps all the males present to wear a kittel at the Pesach Seder as well. And the question, where exactly does that come from? So this morning in Parshas Tetzaveh, the first half of the Seder dealt in the main with matters relating to the Big Day Kahuna. Right? It's kind of a continuation of last week's Seder, which was about the building of the Mishkan and the various parts of the Mishkan, the furniture and all the other things that were in the Mishkan. And this week's Seder continued with details relating to the making of the Big Day Kahuna. But the second half of the Seder, except for the very end, which talked about the building of the Mizbeach, the inner Mizbeach, and the second half of the Seder was describing the procedure which would be followed at the time of the inauguration, the consecration, dedication of the Mishkan, when everything was all finished getting, you know, being built and gotten ready. So there would be like sort of an inauguration ceremony, a preparation ceremony for the Mishkan to go into operation. And the Torah describes that there would be 7 days that would be used for getting the Mishkan, again, an inauguration period, before the Mishkan would go into operation. And the fulfillment of the commands that are presented here in the second half of Parshat Tetzaveh are described when they're actually carried out in Parshat Tzav. We'll read in a few weeks. We had 4 weeks from today, an Erev Pesach, Shabbat HaGadol. We'll read Parshat Tzav. And a good part of Parshat Tzav describes the fulfillment of the commands and the process that was followed during the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. So this morning said, you look in the first source, Shmos Perek Chof Tes, for example, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vosiso La'arno Levonov Kochach Choloshet Yisir Socha Shivas Yomim Tamala Yodom. Right, and consecrating not only the Mishkan, but the Kohanim, who were now entering their jobs as those who would function in running the Mishkan. So they were prepared. And again, we don't have to go all the Psukim, but the Psukim describe what was done for Aaron. It says, Shivas Yomim Tamala Yodom. Okay, and Rashi comments on Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vasisa Aron Kocha, Shina Hakosu, Bekefal Ake, that these things must be done. Okay, it's repeated, because these things that had to be done, and anything missing, if anything was left out, Shimchisa, Dabar Acher, Mikol Amar Binyan, Loni Smali Yadayim, Lios Kohanim Avorosam Psula. This inauguration process had to be followed for the Kohanim to be consecrated to serve in their role, and if anything was left out, that they would not be properly consecrated, Avorosam Psula, would be Psula. And Shivas Yom Tamali Yodom, Rashi says, the last Rashi to the end is on Perk Chav Tes of Shmos Pasuk Lamed. Hey, Shivas Yom Tamali, Be'inyan Azeh, Uber Kabbanos Halala B'chol Yom. These procedures that are described in these Psukim, we follow each one of these 7 days. And Rashi, back in the Psukim, you look in the last couple of Psukim that I printed, Source 1, Pasuk Lamed Vav, Upar Chatos Tes Halab Al Kippur Mechitei Sam Rizbeach B'char Pechalov, U'moshachto Asol HaKadsho, excuse me, Shivas Yom Tichapar Al Mizbeach, these 7 days, certain kapara was needed for the Mizbeach, and so on and so forth. Again, this is putting everything into operation. As I said, the fulfillment of these commandments is described later on in the Chumash and Parshas Tzav, Source 3, Vayikra Perek Ches, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. The Tekonim were told to be Pesach Omed Lo Seitzu Shivas Yamin Ad Melo Ad Yom Melo Simei Miloechem. The Kohanim were not permitted to leave. Okay, they were not permitted to leave the compound of the Mishkan for 7 days until these 7 preparatory days were finished. Kishivas Yom Malei Siyadchem. And Pasuk Lamed Al, Kashay Osab, and Mazet, Tziva Hashem Lazos, Lechaper Aleichem. And again, in Pasuk Lamed Hei, Ufesach, Omei, Teishu, Yomam, Valayla, Shivas Yomim, Ushmaritim, Ismi Shmeres, Hashem, Lazos, Amusik, Chem, Tzumesi. And Pasuk Lamed Vav, Vayas, Aron, Rav, Es, Kolav, Yomam, Shere, Tziva Hashem, Yad Moshe. So that's the fulfillment of the mitzvahs that are presented here towards the end of Parshas Tetzaveh. There will be 7 days of preparation known as the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. And the 8th day was when the Mishkan opened for business. That's Parsha Shmini, Vayhi, Bayom HaShmini, the 8th That's Parsha Shemini. Vayibra Hamashmini, the 8th day since what? The 8th day after the 7. That's what it means, right? The beginning of Parsha Shemini. And that was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So if you do the math, it was the last week of Chodesh Adar, which is when we're coming to now, right? The end of Parsha's Adar is when the end of Chodesh Adar is when you had the Shivis Yimei HaMiluim. Now,
there's just a quick question. Miluim, Yimalei Yad, Timalei Yadchem, Yimalei Yadchem. What does that mean? That their hands should be filled
well,
with?
It's an expression. Let's see exactly. It just means some sort of consecration. Literally, yeah, it would be filled with the activities that you're
with the
doing.
The activities. That the Tamale and Chem, that their hands would be
there's
filled.
There's something else that's learned. Yeah, but there's something else that's learned from this. Well, we'll see in a moment. If you look again in Source 4, which is back in our Seder, in Tetzaveh and Perkhov Test earlier in Pasuk Chav Beis, the Lakachtam in Ayala Chedav Alya take certain parts of the animal and so on that was brought on his back. And it says, Ki El Miluim Hu. You see that at the end of the Pasuk Chav Test. Ki Source 4. El Miluim Hu. So Rashi there in our parsha again, it's Zavet Perkhov Tes Pasuk Chav Beis. Ki El Miluim Hu Shlamim. Lashon Shlemus Shemushlam Bakol. Shlamim is not only peace Shalom, but also complete, but not unrelated. Magid Hakosis Shamiluim Shlamim. This carbon Miluim was a Shlamim. Shemesimim Shalom LaMizbeach UlaOved Havodu UlaBailim. Why is the Shlamim called the Shlamim? Because everybody gets something. The Mizbeach gets something. The Kohanim who bring the carbon gets something, and the Bailim, the owners who brought the carbon, all the carbon Shlamim like that. And that's what was done here. And Lachach Anamitzroch Amatzicha Chazel Lios UlaOved Havodu LaMala. The breast meat was given to the person who did the avoda as his portion. Lamana. Vizel. Here's what I'm into right now. Is Vizel Moshe Shashimish B'Miluim. You look at here in Parsha Tetzaveh, who is the point person here? Who is the one doing all of this? All the, you got to get Aaron ready, you got to get the Mizbeach ready, you got to bring all the Karbonos. And again, the fulfillment is in Parsha Tetzaveh. It was Moshe who was doing all this Avoda. That's clear from the Pesuk in the whole Perek Chav Tes. I didn't print the whole Perek. We're going to look it up. The whole Perek Chav Tes in this morning's land of Tetzaveh is Vatah, Vatah. You, Moshe. Moshe was the one who was basically carrying out all these activities of being Mekadesh, of consecrating Aaron and the Kohanim and the Mishkan in general. Okay? And that's why Moshe got part of the Shlamim, was given to him to eat as his portion. Okay? If you take a look in Parshas Tzav, again, when it was carried out, all right, we look at the end of that Rashi. Zehu Moshe Sheshimish Miluim. Vashar Achlu Aaron Avon Avshem Bailim. Come for his minion, right? Aaron and his sons, they were the Bailim, so to speak, bringing the carbon. So they got a share, but Moshe was the one who actually offered it. And again, it's clear in Parshas Tzav as well. You look in Parakas, starting in Pesach Chav Beis, in Source 6. Vayakrev, he brought that. Who? Moshe. Vayakrev is Ha'el Hasheni El Miluim. Then Vayismuchu Aaron Avon Avshem Moshe Ha'el. Vayishchat. Right, he separated. Vayikach Moshe midamo. Moshe took the blood and sprinkled it in different places and so on. Okay, and again in Pasuk of Dalid, Vayiten Moshe sadam al tnuch ozdom, he sprinkled on Aaron and again on his children. And in Pasuk of Hey, Vayikach esachelim, he Moshe took the chelim in the different parts of the animal and the other offering, the matzos and so on. And all of it was given by Moshe to Aaron and Chav Zayin. Vayitenes akol al kape Aaron al kape Bonav. It was waved in a different direction. And Pasuk Chav Ches, look at it in Perek Ches of Ayikra. Pasuk Ches. Vayikach Moshe osam al kapeim. Vayakter hamizbeach ala ola. Moshe was the one who was makter with all this stuff on the mizbeach. Miluim heim lorech nichoch ishu la Hashem. And then Vayikach Moshe sechaze. He took the breast meat. Vayini feil tuvah l'Hashem be'elam elam l'moshe ha'elamana. That was his portion, like Rashi in Source 5, Rashi here in Tetzaveh, in Perkov Tes Shmos, Pasukov Beis, tells us, based on his Pasuk in Parsha Tzav, that Moshe got that because he was the one who was makriv the carbon. And again, it's called, you look in Parsha Tzav and Rashi, El Hamiluim, Perkhes Pasukov Beis, El Hamiluim, El Hashlomim, Shemiluim Lashon Shlomim, Shemamalim Hashim Esekhani Bekuna, some this completed. The word malay, 3 years before, goes back to the word full. This made them complete. It made them complete now as kohanim, so to speak. So that's another interpretation of malay, right? They were full. They were filled up now with the kedusha of the kohanim. And then Rashi says in Parakhes of Parsha Tzav and Vayikra, Pasuk Chav Ches 7, Vayakar Mizbecha, Moshe Shimesh Kol Shimesh Yimei HaMiluim B'Cholok Lov. Moshe was the one who served as bringing these karbanas, and it mentions he was wearing a cholok lovim, a white garment. We'll get to that in a moment. Okay? There is a Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kuch Alephum Beis, Source 8. Amar Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol v'cholik b'kotche shemayim ha-shenemar, this pasuk in Parshas Tzav, Perakas pasuk chavtez, me'el ha-miluim le-Moshe ha-elamana. We see that Moshe served, at least for this week of the Shiris ha-miluim, as the Kohen Gadol. Now, there's some discussion at Gemara, it's not for now, whether Moshe retained that status for other purposes or not, but not our issue now. But certainly for that week, Moshe served as the Kohen Gadol. Okay, and that's why Rashi says in 9, Zvachim Kuf Aleph and Beis, L'moshe Hayo L'mona, Lashon Chalukah B'Kohanim. He was given, the portion was normally given to the Kohanim, because Moshe, in that sense, served as a Kohen, served as a Kohen Gadol. The Karen Ora, on that Gemara in Zvachim Kuf Aleph and Beis, so it's 10, wonders why did it say Moshe was a Kohen Gadol? He was a Kohen. Why was he called a Kohen Gadol, right? Moshe was a Kohen Gadol. Yesh adaktek minol the Kohen Gadol haya. It's true, you can learn from this parsha that he got some of the carbon and therefore served as a Kohen. But how do you know it was a Kohen Gadol? So he says, well, Mistama, it's Misora Omer Kane, the Kohen Gadol writes, because Moshe was functioning by himself. There was no one else doing it. So he was the Kohen. So that's the Kohen Gadol. Moshe Mishamish Levad. Mistabr Shalyar Mimalas of Rotson Hayatollah. He could continue to function as a Kohen Gadol. That's the Gemara goes on to discuss. But I think the Kohen Gadol is saying, Misora, he was the only one serving. So that's the, he was the Kohen. So in a sense, he had the status of a Kohen Gadol, which he later gave up. Okay. So what we see from all of this, that Moshe Rabbeinu served in a capacity as the Kohen Gadol, or at least as a Kohen, but the Gemara says as a Kohen Gadol, with the Shivas Yemei Miluim. So there's a Gemara in Tainus, Daf Yud Aleph Medbeis, source 11. Mar Ukba Ikla Ginzuk. Mar Ukba once came to a place called Ginzuk, and he was Talmud Chacham. But when the people saw Talmud Chacham came to town, they asked him various shilas. Okay? You look in Rashi in 12, Tainus said, Alvamez, Mar Ukba Ikla Ginzuk Garcina, some apparently had Mar Ukba, but Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Ukba and Akiva, some similar letters. So some had a gift of Akiva, but Rashi wasn't a Akiva because he was not, in all the cases they asked Mar Ukba the Shaila, he didn't know the answer. And Rashi said, Rabbi Akiva would have known the answer. Mar Ukba was a great man, but it wasn't Rosen Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva would have known, and he said it doesn't fit with the words. It wouldn't say Rabbi Akiva would have said, Maiseb Rabbi Akiva, the style would be different. Okay, anyway, one of the questions they asked of him, in source 11, Bominei, Bamesh Shimesh Moshe Kol Shivas Emeluim. What garments did Moshe wear? Okay, did he wear big day kahuna? Right? What garments? Moshe served as the Kohen during the Shiva Semilum. So with the, they asked Marukba, what garments did he wear? And lo habiyad, they didn't know the answer. So Azul Lashal Bay Midrash. So he went, the Marukba went back to the base Medrash to talk to the other Rabbanim and Tamar Chacham. And Taki asked, the people asked me a good question, what did he wear? So Amrulay, Bameshimish Moshe Koshu Mamiluim, Becholuk Lovan. He wore a white garment. And Rav Kana Mastin Becholuk Lovan Shein Lo Imra. He wore a white garment which had no hems or seams, and it will come back to that point. But he wore a white garment. That's the Gemara, if you look back at 8, also in Zvachim Kufalaf, no, I'm sorry, in Rashi. In Rashi, in Parshas Tzav, in Parakhes of Yukha, Pasuk Ches, he says, Moshe Shimesh Kol Shivas Memilum B'Cholok Lovin. That's from this Gemara. He wore a white garment, a special white garment. All right, it says Rashi in 12, the second Rashi, B'mesh Shimesh Moshe, Bil B'Aaron K'siv Big Day Kahuna. We know that Aaron was wearing the Big Day Kahuna, the K'siv Bil Bashtam. Shabashah Shemosh, oh, but Aaron was Big Day Kahuna. Okay, look in the Psukim, I printed in Source 13, again from this morning's Sedrin, Tetzaveh, Parakhov Tes, Pasuk Dal, when Moshe was doing all this activity, that's Aaron Vesponov Takava Pesachon Rachato Sama Mayim that bathed and immersed the Lokachto Sabgod and Vilbashas Aaron Sakonas Milai for Rasai, right? He had to put all the Big Day Kahuna on Aaron and put the Pasuk Vav Santam its Nefes HaRosho and then they would anoint him as Bonov Takri, they would put on the Ksonas and so on, and they had the Avne. So they were wearing all the garments. So what did Moshe wear? Right? That's what Rashi's saying there in Tanya Stuff with Alpha Base. You see from the Psukim in Source 13, that Aaron is wearing the Big Day Kahuna, the Kohen Gadol, and his sons were wearing the regular Big Day Kahuna. So what in the world did Moshe wear to do this? That was the Shaila that that was the kasher that these people in the place Ginzuk asked Mar Ukba, right? That seems to Psukim that Moshe was wearing, that Aaron was wearing everything and the other Kohanim. Continuing that Rashi, Vavod, did the Moshe exerce a Kosovo, or Big Day Kahuna Lo Matsinabo. We never find that Moshe was wearing the Big Day Kahuna. But on the other hand, says Rashi, the second half of the second Rashi in 12, Dear Master of Meshim Moshe and Tainus, it often base. Rashi says, Mistama, Eina Dover Koshe Sheha Ove Bibigdov Shachol, Sheyutsu Behem Lashuk. Mistama, Moshe wasn't wearing just whatever his weekday work clothes, whatever he goes out in the marketplace with. Lachoru is wearing something special. Yeah, he wasn't wearing the Big Day Kahuna. So what was he wearing? So that's what they answered. The other Talmid Chachamim told Marukba he was wearing Choluk Lovan. Says Rashi, Choluk Lovan shel Pishton, a linen garment Asui L'Shem Kach that was made specifically for this purpose. He had it wasn't Big Day Kahuna, but he had a special white garment that was made for this purpose. Then it says Choluk Lovan Sheim Bo Imra. It didn't have any folds, or that's how Rashi explained. It didn't have any hems or folds and so on, and not like our things have places of pockets and the hands and arms. Why? That's something else. Kadesh shaliach shadu Hashem ba'osa sofa hotzi ma'osa kodesh. Rashi refers to something else. It's a pasuk in Parshas Matos, Paraklamet Beis, pasuk Chav Beis, and Bamidbar 14. When Moshe made the deal with the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Reuven, who wanted to stay on the other side of the Yarden, that they would get the land if they would first come fight in Eretz Yisrael and help settle the land, and then they could go back. So it says the famous phrase at the end of that pasuk, "V'yisem nikiyim," in the middle of the pasuk, "V'yisem nikiyim Hashem Yisrael." You have to be clean and innocent and knucky in the eyes not only of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in the eyes of people also. People shouldn't suspect that you're doing the wrong thing, even though you could say, "Oh, God knows I did the right thing." That's not enough. You have to be concerned. Marisayan, Hashadu, all that. Anyway, the famous Mishnah Shkol in Paragimel, Mishnah Beis in 15 says that the person who had to go in to take out, we just had the Machzor Shekel, right? So everybody this time of year would be giving their half shekel to the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash, and from time to, and they put it in one big chamber there, and from time to time, they had to buy more animals for the daily and the Shabbos and Yom Tov offerings. So the treasurer would go into the storehouse and he would take out whatever coins he needed and go buy the animals that were needed. That was what the whole purpose the Machzor Shekel was. And we have the next week's segment, Parshas Kisisa, right? The land of Mincha now. So the Mishnah says that the guy in Atorim, the guy would go in, would make sure to have no folds in his no hems and no seams, no, you know, cuffs in any of his garments, because we're, otherwise, if he would come out, okay, and later on he became wealthy, people would say, hey, you know why that guy became wealthy? Because whenever he went into the storehouse, he, you know, he went to get the coins for the, for the animal, he pocketed a few extra coins. Who knows how many are in there? He was stuck. You know, he'd steal a few things himself. That's how he became wealthy. You know how people are, right? People always suspect somebody else. And of course, the other way too. Okay. If he became poor, people would say, oh, you know, he became poor. He was punished because he was stealing coins from whatever it was. So therefore, yeah, be sent to Kim Hashem Yisrael. It's the same thing with Moshe. Okay. So that's the Gemara in Tani Sud Aleph and Beis. A parallel Gemara appears in Avodah Zarah, Lamed Adam and Aleph. Look at 16. There, Taka the Gears is Rabbi Akiva. Take a look at 16, Rabbi Akiva, Ikla against it. We have Maruk with Rabbi Akiva. Okay, same question, right? What did Moshe wear during the Shizmei Luim? And the answer was a Chalak Lovin, without any hems. There, Rashi and Avodah Zarah, Lama Dada 17, says, Moshe lo nishtamesh be Big Day Kohuna. Rashi makes it clear. He doesn't say it as clearly in Tainus, but it's the same thing. Moshe certainly did not wear the Big Day Kohuna. The Chsiv, it quotes a different pasuk, not that Aaron and his sons will wear it, but it says, because you could argue maybe Aaron and his sons wore it, but there was another set for Moshe. No, because it says also in our set in Tetzaveh, "Rosisa Big Day Kodesh Aaron Achicha." But who are your one? The Big Day Kodesh, the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, says were made for Aaron and his sons. L'chaver l'sifara. So it's called Aaron Achicha. Moshe, in that sense, was a czar, right? A non-Kohen, right? And Imre defined the same thing with the folds and so on and so forth. Look at the pasuk in 18. Rosisa Big Day Kodesh Aaron Achicha l'chaver l'sifara. That's who the Big Day Kohen were for. In fact, the Aruch Chaim, here in Parshas Tetzaveh, Perakov Ches Pasuk Beis, that's where that pasuk is. Well, Sisa B'dekhod Chavrusar says the Archam, what do you need that? What does that pasuk tell us? Right? What is that adding? I mean, the Torah is going to go on, says the Archam, to explain all the regard. What do you have to have that introductory pasuk? Well, Sisa B'dekhod Chavrusar. Torah Ladas, my Kavonas Hayab over the cover. Achashamodiyah Masev Ofnam. The Torah goes on to explain what each of these garments were. What does that add? Okay? So he says that Ulai is bar because since Moshe, since he quotes this Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and in Tanis also, okay, that it's coming to tell us that these begadim are ma'akev for Aaron. Okay, Aaron Achicha must wear these garments, otherwise called mechusa begadim, a kohen who has to wear the begadim. Okay, but Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a kohen, didn't have to wear those begadim. That's what he says. Okay, and what did Moshe wear? So that's what he says. Moshe could wear a cholak lovan. More could just wear white, wore a white, a fancy white garment, a white linen garment, but they have to wear these garments. Okay, now as far as the fold and the hem, so there's a bunch of different reasons what it's for. Tosus Dan of the Zarlam Dalamalav, Dimalasal Sha'ain Bo Imra, 20, Lafichach, some say because it was, well, not because of that fear that he was going to, because the, what kind of, you know, Moshe wasn't going where there were coins. I mean, that had nothing to do with anything. That's true about the Mishnah Shkolim was talking about the guy who came in to collect the half shekels and, you know, and spend them there. That's why they'd be concerned. Moshe wasn't dealing any coins. That can't be the reason. There's a different answer that the way it was made, it looked like it was new. Nobody should think that it was, you know, it was a different type of garment. Or he says, by Robert Moshe appears in second, Shalom Achaka, Shishamish Aaron Nimsa Mum Bemoshe. To be clear that, oh, you know why Aaron became the Kohen Gadol? Because Moshe wasn't good enough. There was something wrong. So it's clear that his garments were different. Okay, different interpretations. Some say Imra means, Someone's just asking, how did they know Moshe was wearing specifically white garments? That's the tradition. It doesn't say that. That's what the Gemara says. He had a white garment. Okay, that's what it says. We don't know. But this last answer, we'll see. Someone give some others give that answer. We'll address that question in a second. But the last answer to Tosis is that the Big Day Kehuna were also made out of Kelayim. That Shatnez is, and this one didn't. That's what it means. It didn't have Imra, means Tzemer, means wool. It was only linen. Okay, different interpretation. Rashbo is a tshuva. Chelek Aleph and the tshuva is Rashbo. So in Mem Beis 21, okay, he answers the question that was just asked, okay, on the chat. He says that the reason why, he says Moshe wore a white garment because the me'il of the Kohen Gadol was tchelis. Okay, it was made out of tchelis, blue. So Taka, to distinguish that this is not the regular Big Day Kehuna, he had no colors in it whatsoever, just white. That's what the Rashbo says. Right near him, Shum Demi'il Shal Kohen Gadol Tcheles Nasa Shal Moshe Lovon LaHafrish Benei, to make a distinction. That's what Rashbo writes. Okay? And because the Pasuk says, you look in the 22 again here in the Tzavah, Perakov Ches, Pasuk Laman Aleph, Osisis Mil Eifod Klil Tcheles. It was completely Tcheles, blue. So the Moshe's garment looked different. Okay, it also says it was Maisa Oreg, was a woven thing, and this was not a woven thing. That's why it didn't have the Imra. Okay, all right. In any event, these are all points that Moshe wore these special garments. In fact, the Gur Ari of the Maharal, not in our Seder, but in Parashat Tzav, in Perkes, Pasuk Chofches, that Moshe Rabbeinu Bimiluim, look in 23, Moshe Bimiluim Kamo Kohen, he served as a Kohen, and a Kohen had to have begotten, but he didn't have the Big Day Kohen. So what did he have? He had Chaluk Lovon. And he said that's part of the mile of Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, okay? Because the Kohen Gadol wore white. You know when? On Yom Kippur, the Big Day Lovon. The Kohen Gadol would go into the Kodesh HaKadosh. He switched a few times during the day, but during the holiest work, when he went into the Lifnei Bet Lifnim, it was pure white. The Big Day Lovon. That's the greatest mile. The Moshe Rabbeinu had that mile. And anyway, so the Maharal, I don't have time to read it now, but you can take a look. He explained that this is a Milo Gadol, the Kohen Gadol, and he wouldn't be allowed to wear those again. Nobody could wear those once he wore them and so on. So maybe that's for the Moshe also just wore it this one time. And he says, white, ki alavanos mora al pshitas. It's pure. It's simple. Okay. You don't need anything fancy about it. Just, all the Givana, all the other things are colors. White is the absence of color. Okay. May not be technically scientific, but that's what he says. White's no color, and therefore it's pshitas. That's why Moshe wore and so on. Anyway, so that's so what we see. Other,
what? Just going back to the contrast to the Me'il, I mean, the regular Kohanim did wear a Big Day Love on.
Right,
so
he talks about that. It's
more like a regular Kohen.
Regular Kohen, yeah. But he says
Amivus.
Because their garments could be worn by each other, and this was Miyuchat. He discusses that a little bit tomorrow. But anyway, what do we see from all of this? That there is some significance to a white garment in terms of Avodas Hashem. Okay, now we thought it raised a question why we wear kittel. None of this would so far seem to explain why we're kittel, because we're not doing avoda in the Beis Hamikdash right now. We're having a Pesach Seder, so we're not doing any avoda. However, there is something else. The Mishnah Zvachim, the famous Mishnah in Perk is Amakomen, Daf Nun Vav Mebeis in Zvachim says, Va Pesach Kodshim Kalim. Pesach is Kodshim Kalim, which you don't have to eat in the compound of the Beis Hamikdash, you eat Yerushalayim. Okay, and as a result, we have the following halacha. There's a pasuk in Parsha Shmos with Parsha Chodesh. We're reading a couple of weeks. Parsha Bo Shmos Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Tezayin. It says that you're allowed on Yontif to cook. We know that, right? You're not allowed to do any melacha on Yontif, but kol melacha lo yesavem acha sheyochel chol nefesh hu levada yesalachem. That which you need for ochel nefesh, for food purpose, you're allowed to do, as we know, on Yontif. Lachem. So the Gemara Beitza Daf Chofmer Beis 26 says drosh lachem below legavoa. For your own use, but not for sacrificial use. And lachem lo nochrim, yourself not for non-Jews. You can't cook for non-Jews on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to cook. You can cook for Jews, it needs for Yom Tov, not for non-Jew. And lachem lo lechovim, not for your pets or for your animals either. Okay, that's a din, and it's an important din. What we're interested in right now is on the following page, Chaf Aleph Manel, Chaf Aleph Manel, 27, more ads. Boy, my name, Rav Avi Sam, Rav Huna, behema chetze so nochrim, chetze Yisrael. You have an animal that's jointly owned by a Jew and a non-Jew, can shecht that animal on Yom Tov. Because after all, the Jew wants it, but you're not allowed to shecht for a goy on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to cook for a goy. So what is half owned, right? Half. So the Gemara says, Amalei Mutter. Amalei Mutter. Aye. Amalei Uchim Ma Bein Zel in the Dorm and the Dolphins. What about Karbonis, where we said, you can't do it, right? As Rashi says, Ma Bein Zel 28, Ma Bein Zel in the Dorm, Chetzel Hashem, Chetzel Ova, Chetzel Gavoa. Right, in the Dharma Novas, you get to eat some, but some go on a carbon. But also, the Shoch, the Mechelik Avoa, because it says lachem lo gavoa. It's not your need. It's also mizbeach need, and therefore you can't do that on yontif. It's according to one view. Machlokes l'sham hil. It's not for now. So I'm going to tell you the difference. Behemus amalei. I'll tell you the answer. 27, second line. Behemah chetzel nachmak chetzel yisrael mutal l'shok to be yontif. Why? The yefshel exai is possible. L'shchita. You can't eat any of it without shechting. So that's the only way you can eat it. Ah, you're shechting a goy's portion too. Okay, you can't eat it. Aval nadarm and adavos also shok yontif the kohanim ki kozachu meshulchan gavoa kozachu. That's the phrase I'm interested in. Meshulchan gavoa kozachu. When kohanim and the bailim and so on get meat from karbonos, it's meshulchan gavoa. They're getting really the portion of a kaddish baruch hu, meaning, okay, as Rashi basically says in the 28, the second Rashi in 28, Beitzah Chafal Hunav Dilmas Kohanim says the Aminzas Kol Shchita L'Shem Gavoah, the whole Shchita. When you have an animal, it's half Jewish owned, half non-Jewish owned, so you're shechted for your portion. Incidentally, the guy's portion gets shechted too. But here it's not incidental. Here the whole Shchita is considered to be L'Shem Gavoah, because although some of it's for you, you're only getting it Mishulchan Gavoah Kazachu. So says Rashi. Okay. Similarly, there's a Gemara of a comment of Yud Beis Mabeis. The same thing. That's what the Gemara says. They're talking about, can you use an animal like that for the purpose of, to use it like as kesef kiddushin. And we don't need to know all the details. Rabbi Yosef Glili says it's mamon bailim. Okay. Rabbi Yosef Glili says it's the mamon belongs to the baal. Okay. And it's not mamon gavoa. But even he admits that after shech that it is mamon gavoa. Fine. All right, Tosas, the Embeitza, Chaval Moral, 31, of Ladorna Dovo says, Kohanim b'chaz v'shok, we saw b'bos, m'shulchan gavoa, k'evet shenol to pras m'rabo, k'en pirish Rashi, and then he throws in the Gemara Bava Kama, Filip Yosef Glili, it says that afterwards, even though at the beginning it's considered mamon b'ayle, but at the end it's m'shulchan gavoa. Fine. This idea of m'shulchan gavoa also would seem to imply there's something sanctified about eating korbonus as well. Eating karbonos, even though the avod is done, it's mishulchan gavoa kazaku. In fact, the Gemara has in a different context. The end of brachas, the pasuk says in Parshas Yisro 32, it says vayikach Yisro chosen Moshe olo zvachem elokim. Okay, Yisro brought certain karbonos. However, Aaron v'chozik neisol lechol lechem im chosen Moshe lifnei elokim. Parshas Yisro right by Sheni, they all joined to eat lifnei elokim. So what were the karbonos? Zvachem says it was olo. Right, as Rashi says there in Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Yud Beis, Shmos at 33, Ola Kishmashi Ola Kolo, Luzvachim Shlomim. By Ova Aaron, where is Moshe? So Moshe was waiting on them. Fine. Lifnei Elokim. Look what it says. Mikan Shanena Misuras Shatamir Chacham Misuun Rokilu Nena Miziv Hashina. Participate in the Misuras Tamir Chacham. It's mamish like you ate Lifnei Elokim. Okay, and it's Torah Shlomim. That's Ibn Ezra even says there in Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Yud Beis, Lech Olechem Shlomim. So that's the Gemara. The end, the very end of Brachas Samach Dalam and Aleph. Fine, but the Netziv in the Hamek Dover says a little differently. He says what it means there, and that pasuk in Yisro, Perek Yud Ches, pasuk Yud Beis 36, it says, "Vayavo Aaron and so on, lifnei Elokim, haynu shlomim, achlu de mishulchan gavoa kazachu." Same expression we had. Ukeilu yoshim lifnei Hashem. Vahodiyah, look at this. Vahodiyah hakasuv dachilas kodshim hu me'ein hakrovas hadam. When you eat kodshim, even kodshim kalam, when you eat meat from the karbonos, that is similar or akin to the actual maisa of serving, of working in the Beis HaMikdash and bringing karbonos. And that would seem to mean that just like there's a certain attitude that you have to have when you serve in the Beis HaMikdash, even when you eat kodshim, okay, you eat kodshim, the carbon's been brought already. You're just eating, but you have to have a certain sort of seriousness about you. We know when it comes to davening, right? The Mishnah says in Brachas, Laman Rebeis, in Omnil Ispala, we talk COVID Roach, which Rashi says in Brachas, Laman Rebeis, COVID Roach Hachna. You have to have a certain amount of, you know, humility, right? And Rashi, the Rambam says, Perak Dalav, Hilotzil, Alacha Tazayin, 39, Ketira Kavana, She Yifno Es Libo Mikol Machshavos, Vira Atzmo, Kilo Omid Lifnei Shechina. You have to visualize yourself like you're standing in front of the Shechina. And the Shulchan Aruch also, Hilchot Tzvila and Archaim Simit Tzadi Gimel Siv Beis, Lo Yamal Ispala, Abba Eimav Achno. So when you're standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to have a certain attitude. So if we put this together, when you're eating Kodshim Kalim, which we said, it's like you're Lifnei Elokim, the Pasuk says in Parshas Yisro, right? By Abba Aaron, Yisro brought, and they came to join sitting Lifnei Elokim, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. So when you're eating Kodshim, you're like you're eating together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a certain Hachna, a certain humility is necessary. So as we'll see more shortly, that may be one of the ideas that when, and this is what the Netziv says, not here in the Hamikdavar, we'll see what he says in his introduction to Haggadah at the end, but perhaps as an Inyan, when you're eating Kodshim Kalim, there's also, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't just serve, like we saw before, like Rashi said, you can't just serve, even Moshe could, he didn't wear the big day kahuna, but he couldn't just wear his work clothes. I have a special garment, and we say Shulchan Gavoh Kazachu. When you're serving in the Beis Hamikdash, you know you have to have a certain approach and a certain seriousness. So that may extend itself to wearing certain garments as well. There is a pasuk in Mishlei, Parag Zayin, pasuk Tez Zayin, 41. Marvadi, Marvadi, Arsei Chatuvos Atun Mitzrayim. Okay, talking about garments. Rashi explains in Mishlei, Parag Zayin, pasuk Tez Zayin. Marvadi, a big day chofesh, nice garments. Okay. I dressed myself in chatuvos atun mitzrayim. What are they? Mehulolos. Those are the best linen garments. Big day clay pishon chashuv mahaboyim in mitzrayim. Shasham hapishon much. Apparently, Egypt was known, at least at that time, for being a source of the finest linen. Okay, and that's where they get these linen garments. And Rashi, that's what the Mitzvot David also says there. Mishlei Perek Zayin Pasuk Tes Zayin. Marvadim, again, garments like Marvadim Osalot, Eishes Chal. Chatuvos. Bade. Hamata hemachatuvos biyosher rab bade mita hemachatuvos biyosher rab umzgarim hemayis harpishon habam emitzrayim hanos biyosher. Apparently in Egypt that's where they had these wonderful garments. It's a psukim like that. Okay, and that's the posuk quotes. Look in Parak Good Test of Yeshaya. That's the Rashi quotes. The Rashi in Mishlei Parak Zayin Posuk Zayin quotes this posuk Yeshaya. Parak Good Test Posuk Test. Uvoshu talking about the downfall of Mitzrayim says Uvoshu Ovdei Pishtim. They'll be embarrassed and so on because they won't have anyone to sell to and so on. But again, the Malbim there in Yeshaya Parak Good Test Posuk Test says Haru Hamitzrayim Marvichim Aleh Pishtim Shegadolov of Mitzrayim. The Egyptians made a big economy out of linen that was available there. Okay, and it was known. Kenoda Bikoris Mekerim is known from ancient history. I don't know. I mean, the Malbim said it's known, I guess, even from non-Jewish sources. They were known for linen. And it's interesting. You look in Parshas Miketz, Perak Mem Alef Bereishis, Pasuk Mem Beis, when Yosef was elevated by Paro to become the second in command, you know, after he interpreted the dreams and so on. So it says in Perak Mem Alef, Pasuk Mem Beis, Vayosar Paro's Tabatom Yayado, Vayitim Yad Yosef, Vayalbeish Oso Big Day Sheish. He gave Yosef fancy linen garments. They put a golden crown on his head. But Big Day Sheish, look at Rashi says in Pasuk Mem Beis, in Bereishis Perek Mem Alef Pasuk Mem Beis, Big Day Sheish, Davar Chashivos Hu B'Mitzrayim. This one, Egypt was a status. It was a status. Okay? And it was specifically white, says the Ibn Ezra, in last week's edition, Parshas Truma, Perek Kafei Pasuk Dalet, where Sheish is mentioned as one of the things that are, you know, and this week said it too, but that's the first time it comes up. Sheish hu abad min mimine pishtim yimatzei b'mitzrayim levado, says Ibn Ezra. This type of fine linen it's found nowhere else but in Egypt. Rakhu lovon ve'enatzun, it was just plain white. This was the fancy, and he quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel. But, you know, they knew the psukim in Tanakh like the back of their hands, right? So I didn't know them, believe me. I only printed here because I saw them in the commentaries, right? So the pasuk in Yechezkel, Parakhov Zayin, pasuk Zayin. Sheish berikma Mitzrayim, right? Again, it's the sheish, it's linen, woven linen was from Mitzrayim. This was their, this is what they had. The Radak there says, Yedios, Yerios, Pishon, Asus, Maisi Rok, Milchum, Mitzrayim, Kimisham, this is 50, Mevium, Clay Pishon, oh, so Sheish, that's what they wore. The Mitzvah's David, right? Yerios, Sheish, Asur, Maisi Rok, Habon, Mitzrayim, Mokom, Hashesh, Hayofeb. That's where the nicest linen was available. Okay, well, now we come, so it makes sense to say, what was the Cholok Lovon that Moshe Rabbeinu wore, or that people would wear special garments? They wore Dafke, linen garments. Where that was the finest garments that they had. So if you were, when you're Moshe Rabbeinu wore Cholok Lavan, someone asked before why it was white. So we gave a reason to distinguish on Tcheles, but also because this was the finest of the linen. And that's what they wore when Moshe Rabbeinu wore that. And according to what we suggested, that's also what people wore when they were participated in Kodshim Kalim. Meshulchan Gavoa Kazachu. So it makes sense to say you wear a special garment. Okay, as we'll see, there's all the Chiddush and Netziv I'm saying over it. It's not mine. Okay, but and we'll see the Netziv inside. But I just want to give all this background information. And now we come to the following. Okay, where is it mentioned altogether to wear a kittel? The Gemara mentions nothing about wearing a kittel at the Pesach Seder. So there is a statement in Shulchan Aruch, or Chaim Shimon Tofai and Beis Sivdal, about Haseba. Okay, so let's take a look at 52. The Gemara says, Isha Eitzel Baya Lo Baya Haseba. A woman does not have to do a seba. say when he's reclining, we eat the matzah and drink the four cups. So a woman doesn't have to. Okay, but in the isha chashuba he tzricha seba. But if she's important, you know, then she should do a seba. Okay, and the Rashbam explains in Kuf Chasalon Al from Shemshachim 53, isha ena tzricha seba, bim ne'emas bailo. Okay, she has a certain reverence for her husband, so she's kofuf to her husband and so on. All right. The Raman Paskins, Parag Zayin, of Hilchos Chometz Umatz, Halacha Heches, 54, Isha She'ena Tzricha Seba, Isha Chashuba, He Tzricha Seba. All right, that's a Shulchan Aruch also. Or Chaim Simen Tov, Ayin Bey, Siv Dalet, 55, Isha She'ena Tzricha Seba, and Kedem Chashuba. The Ramah, Moses, a wise man, he says, V'chol HaNashim Shalano Mikra Chashubas. Don't worry, all our women, you know, are chashuvas. And that's it, okay? I'm sure Mrs. Ramo was very happy to see that that was a psak of her husband. Okay. Anyway, but despite that, achla nogo la seba. The minig is women don't do a seba, okay? Ki som chol dibe Rav Yoh, the chasa is man as a ein la seba. The Rav Yoh held the whole mitzvah of a seba doesn't apply anyway nowadays. Not for men or for women. Why? Because that's not how we eat nowadays. Very simple. At one time, it was a sign of wealth and chayrus to recline. Nobody eats that way. I don't care if you're the President of the United States or the Queen of England. They don't recline when they're eating. In the olden days, you know, you see these movies about the Roman Emperor sitting on on a sofa bed or whatever, and they're dropping grapes in his mouth. That was at one time. It's not like that anymore today. So that's what the Rav Yoh already. He's one of the Rishonim. He said, the whole mitzvah doesn't apply today. All right, we don't accept that. The women do accept it. Okay, that's the whole question. Soloveitchik gave an explanation because, for women, it's a demonstration of chayr. So men, there's also a din of zecher, which women are exempt from. So since we don't do it anymore, so there's no mitzvah to do it, but it's a zecher, the men do it. Okay, it's a different discussion. But the Taz, in commenting on that, Arachayim Simon Tofai and Basin, in Gimel, he quotes Rav Yoh and so on, and then he mentions about an ovel. An ovel, Rachon Atzan, is during the year of Avelis. Should he do a seber or not? Okay? Because after all, it's Derech Cheres, so maybe the Ovel doesn't feel the same sense of Cheres because, he's sad and so the whole year. So he writes, in the second line of Sukkot and Gimel there in Simon Tov Ayin Beis 56, the Taz writes, Ovel Eino Meisiv Me'achar the Yeshiva Kedaka of Derech Cheres, and so on. Okay? B'chein HaMinig. And then he says, what about wearing a kittel? The Kolshkin B'Osen Shalov Shin HaKittel B'Shah Seder Sh'Ovel Lo Yil B'Shenu. Ovel, the year of Avelos, shouldn't wear the kittel. That's what Taz Paskins, that during the Yud Beis Chodesh, after the death of a parent, or if it's Shloshim, after the death of a relative, an Ovel shouldn't wear a kittel. The Tam, Levish, Asa Kittel, who, Shalo Tazuach, Daito, Olav, Ne'a Simcha. Okay? You don't want to go overboard. You're so happy on Pesach. You don't want to go overboard, right? You don't want to go, and Al-Kain Yilbash, Beged Mason. Okay? He says, and therefore, you wear a white garment that's like Tachrichin, it reminds you of the Yom HaMisa. She said, from that reason, so he has really two reasons that Taz does why we wear a kittel. One is that, it's a sign of cheres, and therefore perhaps an Ovel has to limit his sense of cheres somewhat, okay? So they shouldn't wear a kittel. On the other hand, he mentions that it's a, we don't want to go overboard with, it's Big Day Masons, and maybe an Ovel should wear it. And there are different traditions, okay? And the Chai Odom, for example, in Klal Kuf Lamed, Sifyotes Ozbeis in his order of the Seder, he 57. Teicha b'yos meis haknesses min hagenu lilbosh kittel, but v'avol enyo lovesh. But then he writes, when we call makom a lovesh gam kinal hifsid. If Avol wants to, he can. Not the end of the world. Kitzur Shacharach also sim kuf yurches sifyot. He says min 58 min hagenu lilbosh a kittel v'achinu gam kinal. You don't have the kittel ready before dark. You come late, home late from the Seder as is, and you gotta go fumble around your closet to find your kit to waste another 10 minutes. Right? Take it out before. Okay, good advice. Well, Misho, Avrachman Latzan, and a love shiver. He possibly, Avril doesn't wear a kittel. Avril, Behaseba Chayav, Behaseba Yududu. Okay, again, but these are the posts going to speak about a kittel. So exactly what is a kittel anyway? Just as a side point.
What is an Avril on Pesach?
What?
Is an Avril on Pesach? Pesach, the Avelus Pesach on Pesach.
No, but the Yud Beis Chodesh I'm talking about.
Oh, Yud Beis Chodesh.
Yerush Chodesh, oh yeah, yeah, not the Shiva, yeah, the whole year.
So the Taz says that, sitting Kedako is considered Cheres, but the Ovel anyways is Kedako after...
Yeah, and a Hanami, and not only that, but there's another... Well, we'll see. It's a good aura. I mean, again, as you see, they're different menhagim. Just why it's called the Kittel altogether, so it's an interesting thing some suggest, is the Pasuk Yeshaya 59, Parakov of Pasuk Yudas, Yichyu Meisecha, talking about the Tchis HaMeisim, Yichyu Meisecha, And it says, people, Hakitzav Rano Shokhne Offer, those who are sleeping in the dust will wake up, and so on and so forth. And it says, Kital Oros Talecha, Eretzavam Tapil, Kital Oros Talecha. Somehow, and the Radak explains there in Yeshaya Paragav, Pasuk Test 60, Kital Oros Talecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu's Or will wake up, you know, and so on and so forth. Somehow the Tal, Kadosh Baruch Hu, just like Tal, you know, is good for the growing vegetables, so Kadosh Baruch Hu's Tal, so to speak, will have the mason will blossom out of the ground. You know what I mean? They'll come back to life. That's how, which is David also says there in Perk of Pesuk Tes in Yeshaya 61. Kitala tiches she'orid alecha ye kitala yored al tzmachim she'vegadam kein yichayu ha'mesim ha'idei tal tiches. The tal somehow has to do with tiches ha'mesim. And actually the Gemara says in Ksubis, and Kuf Yud Aleph Beis 62, Amalei mikra echad ani dorish tichsiv kitala oriz talecha Torah or Tor Mechayehu that represents the Torah, and the light of Torah will wake up. It's like Tal. So the Pasuk Kital or Talecha. Some say that's where the word Kittel comes from. Kital, Kittel, Kital or that's the Pasuk again. Yeshaya Perkava Pasuk Test 58. It says, I'm sorry, 59. Hakitzu Ranam Shochne Offer Kital or Kital Kittel. Okay, so to remind us, Kitzamais, okay, I don't know if that's where it is or not, but anyway, that's one of the reasons that Kittel is associated with the deceased. Okay, it's like Techricha, it has to do with Ches HaMesim. Again, these are different things symbolized by the Kittel. But there's another thing which others point to. And that goes back to what we said about the Kittel being a linen garment, which in Egypt was considered a, you know, a chashuv garment. That's where the best linen came from, we saw. So we know that the Pasuk says in Parshas Kisavo in 63, Perakov Vav of Dvarim Pasuk Hey, it's in the Haggadah. Manisav Amaritav Neshmalkecha Rami Ovid Avi Vayir Mitzvayim Vayogah Hashem Vasem Ha'at Vayisham Legoy Gadol Atzum Varav. And the Sifrei says, and it's in the Haggadah too, right? The Sifrei is in Pisgah Shin Aleph in Dvarim, Oz Hey 64. Vayisham Legoy Gadol Melamei Chayisham Mitzuyanim Sham. Remember that? That's in the Haggadah. Melamei, what does it mean, Mitzuyanim? They stood out. So the Psikta Zutrisa, also known as Medrash Lekach Tov, there in Parshas Kisavo 65, says, Dover Acher, Vaisham Legoy, Vaisham Legoy, Milamet Shayisom Mitsuyanam Sham, Shayam Malbusham Umacholam Ulashonam Mishunam Mitsuyam. They dress was different than the Egyptians. Misumonim Hayubidu Shem Goy Levadam Cholokman Mitsuyam. They dressed differently. They wore different kinds of garments. And apparently, these types of white linen garments were the way Talmid Chachamim stood out even in later times. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Mem Hey Amud Beis, 66. Mipnei Ma Talmid Chachamim Mishim Abavim Mitzuyanim. Why do they dress differently and so on? Levisha'ena B'nei Makomon. They're not where they really live. Da'amri Inshi B'masa Shamoi B'lo Masa Todvoi. When I'm in my hometown, everyone knows who I am. Right? Everyone knows my name. You know, that's what that's what Rashi explains. B'maso shamoi, 67. B'iri, ain't a turk miskabed, or b'shmi, shan and nikabo, everyone knows my name. So but below maso, when I'm not known, so then I have to stand out with tot voice, says Rashi, kvodi, tole b'sim lo si, my garments. Okay, my garments make me stand out. All right? And Gemara Nedarim, Dav Chof Medvei, 68, says, Omar Meimer, man malach ha'ashores, rabbonon. Rabbonon like malach ha'ashores. V'amayi kori la malach ha'ashores. The mitzayne ki malach ha'ashores. They stand out in their garments like malach ha'ashores. And Rashi says, shatufim b'tzitzis. Okay, they're wearing tzitzis. Okay? But the Ran, they're on the page in Dorm, Chavim Beis, the mitzayne ki malach ha'ashores, 70, she'en mitzuyonim nivdolim yishab nana ki malach ha'ashores, k'adamim b'ha'gadah, melamed shizu mitzayon yisham, k'lamah shug'am b'fnei atzol lo nis'ar mitzayon, they stood out in their types of garments. Now, what type of garments? So there's another Gemara in Kedushin, Ayin Beis and Aleph, 71. Hereini Tamir Chaim Shabbat Bava Domel Malach Hashoris. And there Rashi in 72 says, "What's Domel Malach Hashoris? Kedushin Ayin Beis and Aleph Levushim Levonim, white garment. Today the one was black. Okay, but apparently one time I had one with black garments. But you know the Rabbanim, you know, rabbinic uniforms and so on, the black coat. But at one time it was white. Kamalach Hashoris. I forgot to quote the pasuk. Yechezka Perek Tes. Ish Levush Habadim. Right, wearing linen garments. And it's a quote to Gemara by Mehmet Likin, Shabbos Chof Hamad Bay, 73. I printed it. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Kacham and Hagosh Yehuda Bar Eloi, Erev Shabbos, bring him warm water to bathe in and so on, and wash. And in Misate V'yoshev is Dina HaMitziyot, and he wore white garments with tzitzis on it, the Domal HaMalach Hashem Tzvakos, right? He wore these white garments that had tzitzis of Tcheles on it and so on. That's like the Malach HaShoris. So, that's another thing, another idea of wearing a kittel. In fact, you look in 75, Hilchas Yom HaKippurim, right? Which is where, as I said at the beginning, we know kittel from, all right? Or chaim sim tov reishud siv dalad. There are more rights. Yesh shakosel shenogu lubos begadon levonim nikiyam yom kippur. Dugmas malachim asharis, like the malachim. V'chein ogin lubos hakittel shu lov anoki gam hu beged mesim v'yidei zayin lev adam nichnam v'nishpar. It's also, again, all these different reasons apply on yom kippur as well, where we wear kittel. But what about Pesach? So there's a Zohar, I usually quote the Zohar, I'm not familiar so much with the Zohar, but there is a Zohar in Parshas Tetzaveh, in our Sedra, here in source 76, Tav Kuf Pei Gimel and Beis in the regular arrangement of the Zohar. Basically says, I'll say it outside, that somehow by eating matzah and so on, which he says is like medicine food, for, you know, it's divine food and so on and so forth. When you eat matzah, so that guarantees you eat matzah properly, that'll guarantee you a good decree, so to speak, in Yom Kippur, right? Later on, in other words, the chus of the matzah, you know, Pesach night, you'll be zochet to a favorable din on Rosh Hashanah Kippur. Okay, so maybe there's a link. Just like Rosh Hashanah Kippur, with a kittel, so Pesach we also wear it. The Bnei Yisoschar has a different Hasidic approach. 77, the Bnei Yisoschar says, Mamari Chodesh Nisan Mamar Hey, Sipri Yisrael Shem. Oh, Ches 77, the Bnei Yisoschar says that. Telling over the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has a number of different functions, he says, and doing mitzvahs are the inner and the outer manifestation of the person, the shamas, the primius, and the malbushim are what's outside, and when you do mitzvahs and so on, so it enhances both. Everybody says, he says that Yadua da Torah, second line, Mozon the shamos. It's food for the soul and so on, but it also does something outside, not just the Malbushim do, and therefore the more you tell over the story, the better it is. And he writes, Ubazer, last line 77, Ubazer Matzono Tuvtam, Mashenoagin Lilbosh HaKittel, Oshar Big Day Love, and Mesipir Yetzis Mitzrayim, because it enhances our outer Levush, so to speak. So, okay, these are all different reasons. And the other reason I saw it in the Sefer is that the service on Pesach is also called Avoda. And the Pasuk says in Parshas Bo, Shmos Per Gidgil, right, posting him, I'm a shell, I'm Zachar, some of Zesh, it's us in Mitzrayim, Hayom Atamil, some of Chodesh Aviv, etc. And if you do, Vavaratas Avoda Azos, Bechodesh Azen, Rashi says in 79, it's Avoda Azos, Shal Pesach. So I'm going to say, just like Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash needs the white garments, right? So this is also a form of Avoda. Okay, these are all interesting reasons. They sound a little bit, you know, I mean, I don't want to say stretch, but you know, okay, it's to remind us of not to be too happy and so on, to curtail our simcha, to remedy the omamisa, to be like Malach HaShoris, or maybe the outer manifestations, or however the Zohar says that eating matzah somehow connects us to the din on Rosh Hashanah, or it's a form of avodah, all these different approaches. But the Netziv, in his Agdama to Agoda, has what I think is a very interesting shot and a suggestion. And I also saw in the Sefer Mikroi Kodesh, or Tzvi Pesach Frank, in one of his essays, I think in the second volume, of Pesach, I think it's Simon Lametes. I forgot. I didn't mark it down. It's not on the computer. But he refers to this approach in the Tziv as the Dover Noah Miskabel. You know, very, very praiseworthy and easy to accept, so to speak. Easy to beautiful. I like the shot in plain English. Okay, I forgot now which Simon is on. Maybe it's not Lametes. I'm just looking through it now. I forgot to write the source. But anyway, it's somewhere in the Mikroi Kodesh of Tzvi Pesach Frank. So anyway, what does the Netziv say? So he begins with an interesting point. Okay, he says, our practice is that we wash right after Kiddush before Karpas, Kadesh Urchatz, right? So, and as every child knows, and that's usually tell it, and now we wash, but we don't make the bracha. Right, we wash without the bracha. Right, everyone knows that. So that's of course in the Shulchan Aruch, Aruchaim Sim Tofai and Gimel Sivov. Note the Yad of Tzarek Tibul Rishon, the dipping of the karpas. Velo Yevarachav. Okay, and what's this about? The Mishnah Berurah explains Nonalef, because as a din, when you dip something, you're supposed to wash your hands. We're used to washing only for bread, but as a din of when you eat a dover shetibula b'mashka, something you dip in liquid. Okay, like we do with the coppers, you put in salt water, when you dip, you're also supposed to wash, as it says in Siman Kuf Nun Ches, but below Yavar HaMatzah, we don't make a bracha. Okay, and the Mishabur explains, Nun Beis 81, Kemosha Pasma Chaber La'el, but Siman Kuf Nun Ches. Okay, but take a look at what the Vilna Gaon says. So in 82, I printed the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch HaMatzah, Siman Kuf Nun Ches, Sif Dalet. where it says, "Im ochel davar shetibula be'echar mishiva mashkin shesimonam yad shochadam." If you dip anything into one of the certain seven liquids, okay, which includes water and milk and other things, okay, wine, honey, okay. Anyway, and it's still wet, even if you don't touch it. Nevertheless, you do natila, but without a bracha. You don't make a bracha on natila shadayim. All right. So that's exactly what's going on at the place of Seder, right? We know without a bracha. And the Mishabur explains there in Simkot Mechaf of Simkot Nonchayas at 83, because some say you don't really need it anymore. It's in the olden days only. We kept to Antara. Now we don't. So the big machokas, basically, whether we still have to, what we all agree, you still have to wash your bread. That's what we do. We make an Al Tisadayim. But as far as Dovah Shetibul of Mashka, something going to dip in liquid. So that's a machokas we've shown whether that still applies nowadays or not. So the suggestion is to do it without a bracha. Okay, however, the Mishabur there quotes in the Bir HaGra that his opinion is, no, you do make a bracha. That's how he passed. And he held, you should make a bracha not only for bread, but for davar shetibula b'mashka. That's the Mishabur, the Mishabur quotes from the Vilna Gaon. Okay, so comes the Taz in here in Hilchos Pesach and some Tofai and Gimel Sukkot Vav 84, and he wonders, since we don't tend to do it at all anymore, not only we don't do it out of bracha, we don't do it at all anymore, so why are we doing it on Pesach night? Okay, if you normally have eventually dip in salt water, let's say tonight, you wouldn't wash over it. We don't do it. We don't follow it anymore. So how come suddenly on Pesach night, okay, we're doing it? Right? Pesach night, we have urchatz. Why? In fact, the Taz writes, okay, look at it right. The Choshim Lom Shachim, the Kanyesh Tochachos Megula, also Shani's Har Mechol Hashan. I don't know why. This is a big criticism of those who are not Machpanis all year long to wash without a bracha when you dip something. We don't do it. He said, but it's a, you see from here, you have to. And he writes, the manish tama halayla is there. Why is this night different than all other nights? Okay, we're not makbid all year long. Why are we? So you talk the heat, says you should be makbid all year long. You see from here. But take a look at 85. The Netziv has a Haggadah called Imrei Shefer. That's the name of the Netziv's Haggadah. So this psicha, this introduction, he writes, for Nachsol Inyan, Shein, he gives the answer. He has a different answer to Taz. He says, no, we don't do it all year long, but we still do it at the Seder. Not with a bracha, we still do it at the Seder. Why? We try to the extent that we can to replicate what they did at their Seder when they ate the Korban Pesach. That's why, because they used to do it, that's for sure. And today's the Beis HaMikdash, they for sure washed the Dovah Shibbol HaMashkeh. They had the laws of Tum and Tara. We don't have it anymore. But in those days they did. So tonight we try and replicate it. Right? He said, we're Mekel, and the Taz wonders why. Fellow Kashim, no question. To be called Mokum, the Seder and Eagle come over as Manachilas at Pesach. At the Seder, we try and do like they did in the days of the Beis HaMikdash when they ate the Korban Pesach. Very nice. So that's how he answers the Taz's problem. And now he adds, look at this. That's why we wear a kittel, also says in the Tziv. Because it ain't a Tam Shalot Tazuk, Daitola, Yizko Yom Hamisa, Behu Tamua. And that might work for Yom Kippur. But what are we, on a Pesach night, we have to remember the Yom HaMisa. Or like Malachim, what is that? You know, that doesn't fit in really, a Pesach night. That may be fit in for Yom Kippur. You know, we want to worry about Yom HaMisa. And so that's not Pesach night. He says, it's Tamuah. Right? That's a very strange application. Why? So what's that got to do with Pesach? El Atam, Dachilas Pesach, Himishuchan Gavoa Kachil. When you're eating Pesach, when you're eating the meat from the Korban Pesach, it goes back to what you said before, that's me, you're getting Shulchan Gavoa. It's like in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Keshitas Rashi Ramam, the Chol Achilas Kodeshim Kalam Shulchan Gavoa. Or below Keshitas Tosus Beitel HaFafav, Tosus a different sheet, I didn't print it. Vim Kain, Yesh Lechol Es HaPesach Be'em Ovi Yira, Kemo B'Shas HaTfila. When you ate the meat from the Korban Pesach, it was serious business. You were eating Mishulchan Gavoa. It's like a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you a piece of food from his table, as it were. So you have to sit with a certain cover, a certain, like you're davening. And therefore he writes, She'ena lovesh beged achila kamo she'ochel bebeso. You can't just wear the regular garments you wear in your house. Like we said about Moshe Rabbeinu, who couldn't do the avoda during the Shivas Yemei Miluim in his regular work garments. Now you have to wear special garments. Uvioseinu b'Yerushalayim bizman achila sapsochem haya habeged hachosh. In those days, what was the important, the most chosh of a garment? Shemis Balamo? Michatuvos Atun Mitzrayim. That's a pasuk in Mishlei. With the linen, the fine linen garments. Who beggared Pishalom and Kinexiv by Yahweh Shosu Migdashesh, like we saw the Paro gave Yosef. That linen garment, that's what they wore. That was a chosh of a garment in those days. And Anu Noagim Kimobis Mana Pesach. Mishum Hochi, Anu Lovshim Beggar Pishalom, Hua Kittel. I think a very a unique interpretation. No, then Siv said that's why we wear a kittel, because it's part of our trying to replicate what used to be done. In those days, that was a chashuv garment, like we discussed, the fine white linen from the Mitzrayim and so on, that and like the paro put on Yosef and so on. That's what they wore in the days of the Beis HaMikdash when they ate the carbon Pesach. I mean, it seems very creative. I mean, we have to have Makaris so that it doesn't bring. But it's, I think it's a very, very creative suggestion, and it's got nothing to do with Yom HaMisa and Malach Yashar and all the other kvetchy answers. Okay, he says no, that we're replicating. I thought it's very, very, very clever. In any event, that's what the Nitziv says. Is the minute we're in Kittel. It could be that that's a further question connected to Urchat. You know, in some homes, only the person leading the Seder washes, you know, by Urchat. I don't know why his family's custom like that. Not everybody got up to wash. Okay, but just the head of the Seder has Urchat. So why? Because the Nitziv is right, it's a Zeichel HaMikdash. Okay, so one Zeichel HaMikdash at the table does the job. And for that reason, maybe in some homes, only the head of the household was the kittel. Not every male present. Different men hug him. But it could be that that's what it depends. How many Zeichel HaMikdash you need? One makes the Rem of the Mikdash. Just to finish up, there's some discussion again about the Oval, the one of Romans, some quote in Hayran 86, says, Oval Tokhid Beis Chodesh, Ein Tzor Chesebe, Begam, Ein Elovish HaKittel. He doesn't wear the Kittel. The Chok Yaakov there in Sivkot Nei in 87, disagrees. Okay, he says, certainly, he has to do a Sebe for sure. And he mentioned, I think, Jonathan, someone said it, if he's not going to wear it, he's not going to do a Sebe, so it's Avelis before Hesia. Right? He's publicizing the fact that he's an Oval. We don't usually do that. And so therefore, you know, so different, again, different Minhag, the Shulchan HaRav, Balatanya or Chaim Shim Tofai in Beis Dalad 88 writes. He says if you didn't start the Avelis, and he also says that the minig is he can wear the kittel. You know, he makes a seder. So a different custom. Minchzalozov and the Munkacher Chelagimel Sun Sam of Vav and his Chuvas. Minchzalozov also says that his family and by the Chassidim they do wear the kittel even in because of Simchas Yontif and you shouldn't change it. There's also and the Mishabura mentions at the very end of Sivkot Gimel there in 90 and Sivan Tafai and Beis, the Kittel Nago Shalol Lilbosh from a Komak Lovish and Machmir. The more widespread minik than Mishabur is not to wear the Kittel during the Yud Beis Chodesh, but if you want to, you can't stop him. The one other thing, the Maram Shik as a Chuba, what about a Chos in his first year of marriage? The Maram Shik in Sivan Chavches and his Chuba's Chelek Archam, Sivan Chavches, Iyash Lovish Kittel, Rosham Kippur, we don't talk about Rosham Kippur, but the same thing, the first year after the Chasin. So he says, he doesn't really, you know, there is such a minig. He doesn't really understand that why he shouldn't wear it the first year, but it's maybe because people got so married so young. They're under 20. When you're under 20, you're not chayav medina shamayim. Chayav medina after bar mitzvah, but medina shamayim, you're not chayav till the age of 20, so maybe you don't have to worry about the Oma Misa. I heard someone else once say, because, you know, kids got married very young. So it looked a little funny. Kid 15 years old walks in with a kittel. So first year marriage, you don't do it. After you're married, you're more of an adult. Okay, different interpretations. There also, or perhaps the minig developed, as the Gemara says in Pesachim, Pei Zayin and Aleph, the first year of the marriage, sometimes the women would always like to go to their parents for the first Seder. No, that's the minig to this day. First year of marriage, you go to your in-laws. Well, the girls go to their parents. You go where the wife wants to go to the first Pesach. That's a very mission in Pesachim, Pei Zayin and Aleph, right? The woman she wants, the first Yontif she goes to her father's. So it's a question of where she joins her Karban Pesach. Okay, the Mishnah Ksubis, Ayin Aleph and Beis in 94, talks about someone took a neder. Can you let her, not to let her go to her parents' house, but what about the first Yontif and so on? Anyway, so the first Yontif, very often the woman went to the mother's house, so the husband accompanied her. And there, apparently, the father, you know, his father-in-law was wearing a kittel. So he didn't wear a kittel, right? Only one at the table, like I said before. Maybe that's where the practice developed that a chosim doesn't wear it. And, you know, you have to keep your wife happy. That's end off on that cheerful note. 96, the pasuk says in Parshat Kisetze, the Varim Perik Chav Dalet pasuk. Hey, the simach is ishto shalokach for the first year. And the Yireim writes in the Sefer Mitzvah Siman Reish Chav Ches in the old version Kuf Tzadi 97. Lomadnu shebishonah rishonah shenos selam is ishto chayv lesamcha kesev noki lebeisa. The simach is ishto bechol dvarim sheyodeh sheyesh lo simcha. The husband's obligation to make his wife happy, whatever she knows makes her happy. So the first year, you better go to her parents for Yontif, okay, for the first Pesach. I think that's the more widespread practice. I think to this day, you know, the first, at least the first Pesach, you always go to the girl's parents. No, she doesn't want to come to some strange family's Pesach. They don't sing the same nigunim and all the same practice the first year. So anyway, maybe that's how it developed. The chosen doesn't wear it because the father knows wearing it. Anyway, so different traditions about that. I don't want your father on minig, but I think that, you know, we had different reasons why we're in Kittel. But to me, the suggestion that it's Siv, that this is part of, again, a very original suggestion. Okay. And how does he know? But that's what he says, that in the Eretz, in Yerushalayim, at the time of the Seder, they would wear these very fine linen garments, and we had riots to this, you know, the white linen garments, because it's part of it. More important than a kittel, really, is to recognize what we're doing at the Seder. You know, we're mishulchan gavo, we're sitting eating matzah and eating, you know, we don't have the carbon Pesach, but, you know, we're remembering the Pesach of Yerushalayim. So we're sitting, literally, eating food that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us from his table. So there's a certain amount of solemnity and the specialness that invokes, and maybe that's why we wear a kittel. Okay, wish everybody a gute Woche.